Well, you may be seated. You know, there are some things that we normally do, and I believe that we will be able to get back to normal, but right now we don't shake hands, you know, we social distance. How many of you, this is your first service back from, yes, we had our first, well, we want to say welcome. We had our first service last Sunday, and oh my goodness, wasn't it wonderful, you guys? It was so awesome to be able to fulfill the scriptures. I was glad when they said unto me, let us go into the house of the Lord. You know, I'm thankful that we do have technology and that we were able to, you were able to participate online. And for those of you that are still in the homes, I thank you that you are participating with us here in this service. But I will tell you, it's much more inspiring to look out and see people. Yeah. You know, when we were speaking, making announcements and stuff, when there was no one in the auditorium, we just had to inspire ourselves. But I'm thankful that you're here to inspire me. All right? So I need some inspiration, y'all. Are you awake? Hallelujah, hallelujah. You know, that song, I just love that song. I was thinking about when God was giving instructions to Moses, and Moses says, well, who do I say sent me? And he said, I am that I am has sent you. And you know, the I am has sent all of us to fulfill the plan that God has for each and every one of our lives. Well, as Denise said, today is Mother's Day. Hallelujah. This is a day for you as a family to honor mother, for you to wait on her instead of her waiting on you all the time, right? So there's no better scriptures to turn to than Proverbs. So I want to turn to Proverbs 31:10. I want to read this out of the New Living Translation. It gives us a little bit more modern look at the Proverbs woman. You know, I was thinking about this. The only thing about reading this scripture, it's like it talks about, and we'll read it in a minute. It talks about the woman doing this and doing that and doing all these things. And what does it say about the man? The man sits at the gate. Yeah. Okay, guys, I don't think things have changed very much since then. We love you. But, you know, I'm gonna tell off on my husband. Is that okay? I mean, he can be closer to the refrigerator than I am, and he still asks me to go and get him something to drink. He asked me to preach, so I'm just going to tell it all. Is that okay? But let's look at Proverbs 31, starting with the 10th verse. Who can find a virtuous and capable wife? She is worth more than precious rubies. Her husband can trust her, and she will greatly enrich his life. She will not hinder him, but help him all of her life. She is energetic and strong, a hard worker. She watches for bargains. Her lights burn late into the night. I really fulfill that scripture. My daughter texted me last night at midnight, are you still awake? Of course, I'm always awake at midnight. Usually at 2 o'clock, I'm still awake. She watches for bargains. Her light burns late in the night. She is clothed with strength and dignity, and she laughs with no fear of the future. When she speaks, her words are wise, and kindness is the rule when she gives instructions. She carefully watches all that goes on in her household and does not have to bear the consequences of laziness. Her children stand and bless her. Her husband praises her. There are many virtuous and capable women in the world, but you surpass them all. Charm is deceptive and beauty does not last, but a woman who fears the Lord will be greatly praised. It's so important that we as women, and of course men as well, fear the Lord. As Denise said to all of you mothers, happy Mother's Day. You know, on the year of 1945, Mother's Day happened to be on a Sunday. And I constantly reminded my mother, as long as she was on this earth, that on Sunday, Mother's Day, 1945, she was presented with the best gift that she would ever get. And that was me. I heard I was supposed to be a boy, but I was a girl instead, you know. But my parents were still happy with me, so I told her, listen, Mother, you know, I can't do better than that. I gave you the best gift that you ever, ever had. Yeah, she would just smile at me. But, you know, mothers are one of the most important individuals in our lives. A survey conducted among children said this, that they would choose the love and approval of their mother over money, fame, or possessions. Children want the approval of their mother. They long for the love of their mother. Winston Churchill was asked who was the greatest and the most influential person in his life, and his answer was, my mother. George Washington said this. He said, my mother was the most beautiful woman I ever saw. All I am, I owe to my mother. I attribute all my success in life to the moral, intellectual, and physical education I received from her. You know, I remember the story of also Thomas Edison, and the teacher says, Thomas Edison, actually they called him dumb, that he couldn't learn. And so his mother said, my son is not dumb, and she proceeded to teach him. And of course, without him, we would not have many of the inventions that we have today. A mother is a powerful influence. You know, I think mothers are pretty important whenever, you know, you see a sign at a sporting event, especially a football game, and I'll be watching it on television, and they scan the audience. It's amazing. I never see a sign that says, hi, Dad. What do I see? I see a sign that says, hi, Mom. So we are very, very important. The influence that we have in our children's lives present us with an awesome responsibility. You know, unfortunately, there is not a course that you can take on motherhood that will completely prepare you for the joys, for the challenges, for the heartache sometimes, and for the laughter that motherhood brings. You know, have you, I know you've read sometime about, it's like, you know you're a redneck when, right? Well, I'm going to give you some, you know you're a mom when, all right? Are you ready? You know you're a mom when you count the sprinkles on each kid's cupcake to make sure they are equal. Now, I never counted the sprinkles, but I certainly, at Christmas time, counted all the gifts. I don't care if I spent the same amount of money on them, which I did, but my kids had to have the same amount of equal gifts. Because if they didn't have the same amount of equal gifts, one would say, you love her more than you love me. And so we do those special things. You know you're a mom when you hide in the bathroom just to be alone. Or you only have time to shave one leg. You know you're a mother when your child throws up and you catch it. Or you've mastered the art of placing food on a plate so that nothing touches anything else. Are there any of you in here that you have to have, you can't let anything on your food touch anything else? Oh yeah, I know. We have those. You know you're a mother when you have a babysitter. You hire a babysitter because you haven't been out with your husband in ages and then spend half the night talking about the kids. Now let me insert something in here. I'm going to meddle, okay? Is it okay if I meddle a little bit? Yeah. Mothers, you need to take time to be alone with your husband, to go out on a date. All right? And many of you mothers are at home because the children are at home and you're there. So I'm going to tell you, you need to get a babysitter and take time with your husband. Because guess what? Those children, when they get about 16 and start driving, they could care less about you. Yeah. And if you and your husband don't continue to court each other, all of a sudden you're going to look at each other and say, who are you? Yeah. So it's important that you keep that relationship intact. Because motherhood all the time kind of ceases to exist after a while. And besides that, your kids need to see that kind of a relationship between a wife and a husband. Now, you know you're a mom when you find yourself cutting your husband's sandwiches into unusual shapes. Yeah. Or, you know, it upsets you when your child clings to you upon entering kindergarten. But then you get upset when he skips to class without looking back. Yeah. You know your mother when you hear your mother's voice coming out of your mouth. I know. We tried, wives, not to be like our mother. But the older we get, the more that we become like them. And your husband says, oh me. You know you're a mother when you stop criticizing the way your mom raised you. Or you know you're a mom when you read that the average four-year-old asks 437 questions a day and you feel proud that your kid is above average. Moms, have you ever... You know, you would give your child instructions and they would say, why? Yeah, this is when they were a little bit younger, you know. They'd say, why? So you tell them why. And then again, they say again, well, why? And every time you answer that, they say, why again? And finally, I know I've done this, especially to Craig. Yeah. And finally, I just say, because I said so. But because you're a mom, you say at least once a day, I'm not cut out for this job, but you wouldn't trade it for anything else. Proverbs 6:30 says this in the New International Translation. It says, my son, keep your father's commands and do not forsake your mother's teaching. Now, I want to tell you a few things that our mother or your mother probably taught you. Now, I'm not for sure that this is what God had in mind when he said, not forsake your mother's teaching. But let me tell you some things that you learned from your mother. Mother taught us about foresight. Make sure you wear clean underwear in case you're in an accident. Mother taught us about logic. If you fall out of the tree and break your neck, don't come crying to me. Mother taught us about maturity. Eat your vegetables or you'll never grow up. Yeah. Mother taught us about religion. You better pray that comes out of the carpet. Mother taught us about time travel. If you don't straighten up, I'm going to knock you in the middle of next week. Mother taught us about contradictions. Shut your mouth and eat your dinner. Mother taught us about contortionism. Will you look at the dirt on the back of your neck? Yeah, got that one. Mother taught us about perseverance. You're going to have to sit here until you eat every last piece of that broccoli. Mother taught us about genetics. You're just like your father. Mm-hmm. Yeah, I think most daughters are like their fathers. Mother taught us about the weather. It looks like a tornado swept through your room. Mother taught us about wisdom. When you get to be my age, you'll understand. I'm sure you've heard that, right? Mother taught us justice. One day you'll have kids, and I hope they turn out just like you. You know, I would hear my dad didn't say that to me. Okay, now I was a perfect child. No. But he would say that about my brother. I hope that when you get married and have kids, that you have five kids just like you, and I'm going to be next door and listen to everything. Well, after my brother got married and had one girl, my dad said, well, you know what? I don't think you need five. I think that one will precise for what I wanted to accomplish. Yeah, because his daughter was quite a handful. Now, in the plan of God, God created the father as the head of the home. But, you know, the mother is certainly the heart of the home. A child was once asked, where is your home? And the little fellow replied, where mother is. And mother is certainly the heart of the home. God, you know, having planned for mother to be the keeper of the home, endowed her with special traits that qualified her for the most strenuous and honorable task. You know, there is a saying, and I'm sure you've heard it, a man's work is from sun to sun, and what? A woman's work, what? Is never done. There's always something that a mother has to do. There's always someone that needs a mother's attention. And you know what? Somehow she manages to do it all and to give to each individual child or husband whatever they need. A mother sets the atmosphere of the home. Fills it with joy, with music, with laughter. You know, without mom, nobody knows what to wear. Because she lays out the clothes. And she makes sure that they're washed and ironed. And even when the children leave, mother still has to lay out clothes for her husband. In fact, always when I leave town to go to the Dallas market or other places, sometimes in pastor is at home, I always lay out his clothes for him for every day from the moment that I'm going to be gone. Well, one time I was gone and it was really busy and I actually forgot to lay out his clothes. And so Denise called me, Mom, did you lay out Dad's clothes? I said, honey, I just didn't have time. I ran out of time. Why? She said, Mom, Dad looks like a clown today. Well, I've never forgotten to do that since. Now, you know, when Mom's not there, who knows what the family's going to eat? Because Dad never pays attention. He'll just let the kids just, you know, eat candy and everything else. Mom is the only person who can divide her love among many children and still give each child all that she has. A mother inspires her children to be even better than they are. You know, whether with a pat on the back when everything's going right or a hug when things go wrong. Mom always says, honey, it's going to be okay. It's going to be okay. Because you see, it's the mom that always puts the pieces back together. Whether it's a broken doll, whether it's the pieces of a broken date or a broken relationship. Mom is always there. Mom understands. When you have a problem, where do you go to? You go to Mom because Mom knows how to solve it. No job on earth takes more physical, mental, social, emotional, and spiritual strength than being a good mother. But let me ask you a question today, moms. Are you fulfilling the Proverbs 31 mother as I read? You know, if I were to ask your children's opinion of you, would your children call you blessed? It is important that we be the right influence to our children. The home is the greatest theological seminary in the world. I'm going to say that again. The home is the greatest theological seminary in the world. It's not the church's responsibility to train your children. Amen. It is your mother. And I know it's not Father's Day, but I'm going to include fathers. It is important for you as parents, train your children in the things of God. It is only the church that will shore up that training. So many people leave all the spiritual training to the church. That's not the way it should be. Our children will learn more from God in the home than any other place. You know, we don't have to say much to teach children about God. Because you know how they learn? They learn by your attitudes at home. I can always tell what the conversations are in homes. I can always tell when I hear out of a child's mouth criticism. I know what's been spoken in the home. Because they learn by example. They learn by the deeds that are done there in the home, the values that we live by there. We need to teach our children how important God is. What we live for and the way we live defines their understanding of God. It's important that we as mothers become a godly example. And today I want us to look at a powerful example of a mother in the Bible. I want you to turn over to 1 Samuel 1. We're going to talk about the principles that Hannah lived with, or that she lived by. Now, while you're turning there, if you've never read the story of Hannah, Hannah was the child of Elkanah. And Elkanah had two wives, Peninnah and Hannah. Now, Peninnah had children, but Hannah did not. Hannah was barren, and that was not a good thing in the Bible days. And so Peninnah would always belittle Hannah. She would always make fun of her. And each year, as Elkanah took his family to Shiloh to worship the Lord and to bring the offerings, he would give offerings to Peninnah and her children. But then, you know, he loved Hannah more than anything else, and he would give her a double portion. And Hannah was very distraught because year after year, the same scenario would occur. And Hannah desired a child greatly. And so finally that desire became so strong that, let's read in 1 Samuel 1:9. It says, once when they were at Shiloh, Hannah went over to the tabernacle after supper to pray to the Lord. Eli the priest was sitting in his customary place beside the entrance. Hannah was in deep anguish, crying bitterly as she prayed to the Lord. And she made this vow, O Lord Almighty, if you will look down upon my sorrow and answer my prayer and give me a son, then I will give him back to you. He will be yours for his entire lifetime. And as a sign that he has been dedicated to the Lord, his hair will never be cut. And of course, we know the story. Hannah had a son. And she named him Samuel. And that word, one of the meanings of that word is God has heard. Aren't you thankful that God does hear our prayers? But the first principle that Hannah lived by is one that we should live by. She was committed to God. She was committed to God. Before she was a mother, she was committed to God. She was faithful to worship God year after year, even though that her desire had not come to pass. She believed in prayer. She believed in being honest with God. And you know, she prayed fervently. She prayed so fervently that Eli thought that she was drunk. And she said, no, I'm not drunk. I want a child. And guess what? She wouldn't give up until that prayer was answered. But you know what? She was so committed to God that she said to God, God, if you'll just give me a child, I'll give him back to you. I'll give him back to you. And I know that as I had both of my children, it wasn't really easy for me to get pregnant. And with each one, I said, God, if you'll just give me a child, I'll give him back to you. And I'm so thankful that God gave us two children and call them both to help us in the ministry. Are you committed to God? Hannah held a vital, personal, first name basis of relationship with God. Nothing could move her away from that commitment. What kind of relationship do you have with God? Do you communicate with Him daily? Do you pour out your heart to Him? You know, I do that. I pour out my heart to Him. Do you listen to His instructions? And not only do you listen to His instructions, but do you heed those instructions? So very important to listen to the voice of God. A second principle that Hannah lived by, she was committed to her husband. She was committed to her husband before she was a mother. Hannah was a wife. And you know, Hannah didn't complain. There was difficult situations because she was childless. And yet she endured the ridicule from Peninnah. She could have fought back, but she kept the right attitude. She could have complained to her husband, but she kept the right attitude and she talked to God. You know, mothers, wives, we would be a whole lot better off instead of complaining to our husbands if we would just talk to God. Yeah, because you know what, ladies? God doesn't mind hearing all your details. Yeah. I know your husband does not like to hear details. I am sure that, man, you are just like my husband. Whenever I try to explain, he asks me about something, I try to explain something, you know, and after a while he says, just get to the point, just get to the point. But God doesn't mind listening to all of the details. He doesn't get frustrated with you. And guess what? God can fix your problems a whole lot easier and a whole lot better than your husband. A third principle that Hannah lived by, she never forgot who gave her her child. She never forgot who gave her her child. She realized that her child was a gift from God, and guess what? She continued to thank God. And in fact, instead of boasting about her son, of which, you know, we all boast about our children, how good looking or how smart he was, instead, she praised the giver. She praised the giver. You know, how many times do we ask God for something? He gives it to us, and guess what? We do as the lepers did. We forget to thank him. We forget to praise him. We need to make sure that we praise God, that we never forget that God gave it to us. She never forgot that God gave her a child. She was thankful all the days of her life. She realized that Samuel was a gift from God. Let me say to you, do you realize that you are a gift from God? So many times, especially women, sometimes have low self-image. Don't ever do that. Amen. God, David said, I am wonderfully made. You are wonderfully made. In the Amplified, I think it is, says, thank you for making me so complex. I know, ladies, we are complex. A guy can never, a husband can never figure us out, but that's okay. That's why we're attracted to him. We're a challenge. Yes. But you are a gift from God. But let me ask you, are you acting like a child of God? A boy was going off to college and expected a lecture from his parents about how he should behave. All during the preparations of getting ready to go, the boy was waiting any moment for his parents to sit him down and tell him what he could do and what he couldn't do in college. But he never got such a lecture. Instead, as he was getting in his car to leave, his father told him one thing. Son, remember whose son you are. Remember whose son you are. And whatever you do, remember whose son you are. And you know, my parents would always remind me of that. They would say, Lynette, remember, you're a child of God. And as I became a teenager, they would say, remember, you know, we may not be with you wherever you are, but God is always there. And he can see what you do. Wow, that kept me from getting into a lot of trouble because I was always reminded God was always there. And we need to live up to the standard of what a child of God should be. We are children of God, but how do we act like children of God? What kind of example are you with your children at home? You know, one college student said this. He said, you know, back home, my parents are the pillars of the church, but pardon this language, but they are hell to live with. What kind of example are you in the home? What kind of language do you use in the home? Let me tell you, your children will imitate what you do. Your children will imitate what you do. I know that. My dad was always, he would always take off his socks, his dirty socks, and put them under the bed. And my mom would get so frustrated because when she went to do laundry, she'd have to get underneath the bed and get, he had a lot of socks, and get all the socks out and wash them. So one day she had all this pile of socks that she had washed, and she said to my brother, who was about 10 at the time, she said, Gary, go put your dad's socks up. Well, guess where he put them? Under the bed. That's the only place he had seen my dad put his socks. That cured my dad because he realized the example that he was. And you know, parents, not only do your children look at your example, but your grandchildren observe you. One time, our oldest grandson, Cameron, was in daycare, and they called his mother and said, we're having trouble with Cameron. She said, what? What is it? They said, he's spitting on the floor in the room. And so she said to him, Cameron, why are you spitting on the floor in the room? He says, well, Poppy does it. Well, he had seen his poppy spit outside. But of course, as a three-year-old, he didn't know the difference between having to be outside to spit and having to be inside. So, your child will watch you, and they will be who you are. I know I would listen to Denise when she was playing house with her dolls. And I would be downstairs and she would be upstairs playing, and I would hear her correcting her dolls. And guess what? She was using my very same words. And I thought, wow, I need to be careful of what I say. Let me ask you, do you put on a good show at church, but your home is a different matter? We are God's children, and we need to act like it. Fourthly, the principle that Hannah lived by, she was committed to train her child in the ways of God. You know, Samuel came late in life, and I'm quite sure that she was, you know, tempted to cling to him, but Hannah remembered her vow. She remembered her responsibility as a mother to train Samuel well. Proverbs 22:6 says this, train up a child in the way he should go, and when he is old, he will not depart from it. It is important that we train our children. She trained Samuel that he knew who God was. We need to train our children to know who God is, to prepare them for the time when he wants to use them in whatever steps that he has for them. Let me ask you, what kind of training are you doing in your home? Are you teaching your children to pray? Are you teaching your children to read the Bible? I know that when our children were young, every morning we would read Faith Food because it was short. It took about 10 minutes or not even that long. And there's a confession at the end of that, and we would make that confession. But then we would say to the kids, well, we'd go around the table, okay, Craig, what confession do you want to make today? And he would always say, I'm confessing that I can run fast, because he was always in sports, you know. And then we would ask Denise, what kind of confession do you want to make today? And she would make her confessions. We were training our kids. As they got older, we started reading the one-year Bible together. And I can say that I believe it was 5 times that my children have read the Bible through. 5 times, because we read it together as a family. We would each take turns to read, whether it was the New Testament or Old Testament or a psalm or proverb. And so we need to do devotions with our children. I know that Denise, as she was training her kids, one day she was reading her Bible and marking in her Bible, and I think Wesley was about 3 or 4 at that time, maybe 4 or 5. And so she was marking, and he says, what are you doing, Mom? And she said, I'm marking scriptures that just mean a lot to me. And he said, can I do that? And she said, yes. And so she got a yellow crayon, he got his Bible, and he started marking all the scriptures. Of course, he couldn't read them, and it was hilarious, some of the scriptures that he was marking. But he was learning how to read the Bible. Do we teach our children to love? Do we teach our children to forgive? Do we teach our children to be sensitive to the needs of others, to hear the voice of God? Do we teach our children how to navigate life? There are teachable moments in time that we need to teach our children. I know that when Craig was in the 7th grade, he had a teacher that was just really, I've never, ever, you know, complained about any teachers, but this teacher just was horrible. He just, with the students, he would just berate them. And unfortunately, Craig had this teacher for two subjects. He had him for math, and he had him for, what was that called? Shop class, yes. And in shop class, they had to do drafting and everything, and I had paid money for the supplies, and Craig came home, Mom, I need another pencil. And I said, son, ask the teacher, because, you know, I gave the money for that. And he said, no, I can't ask the teacher, because he will get so upset. Well, the time came that Craig didn't even want to go to school. He was crying every time he went to school. And I knew that this was an issue. And so I sat Craig down, and this is what I said. I said, son, I said, I can go to class. I can go to the principal. I can get you out of his class if that's what you desire. I said, but let me tell you, one day in life, you're going to encounter someone with this same kind of personality. And you can either conquer it now or you can conquer it later. It's your choice. And of course, Craig's like, both Pastor and I, he loves the challenge. And he said, I'll do it now. I said, okay, son, I'm going to tell you how to do it. We need to train our children. I said, let me tell you, teachers do have pets. They will tell you they don't, but they do. I said, so you become the teacher's pet. I said, you're good at math. Thank goodness you have him in math. You become his pet. Craig conquered that class. We need to have those teachable moments to help our children in life. Denise would be afraid at night and would cry. And, you know, and every night, her dad would always go up and say, darling, you don't have to be afraid. Because The 91st Psalms, it says no harm can come near you. And finally, one night, she always had stuffed animals, and she had a stuffed tiger. It was a huge tiger, and it sat on the end of her bed. And so one night, because Pastor was always the one that got up with the children, thank goodness, because he could go back to sleep quickly. If I ever wake up, forget it. I'm up for the rest of the night and day. And so finally he said, Denise, he said, you see Tigger here? She said, uh-huh. He said, you realize that you have a guardian angel, and your guardian angel is sitting right here on Tigger. And any time that you wake up and you are afraid, you just look at Tigger and know that your guardian angel is there, and your guardian angel is protecting you. From that moment on, she slept through the night and kept Tigger with her until she got married. But teachable moments. In fact, you know, as we have said during this plague, that we've always quoted the 91st Psalm to our children. No plague shall come near thee. No harm shall come nigh thy dwelling. And so one time, actually, when Denise was about 5, I believe it was, that she had a little neighbor girl that was always afraid, she would say, monsters. Oh, monsters are going to get you. Monsters are going to get you. And so, you know, Denise would come to me, Mom, a monster's going to get me. And I said, Denise, you know that monsters can't get you. We claim the 91st Psalm. And so one day, Michelle came to the house, and actually we were eating, but Denise was through eating, so they were in the family room playing. Michelle came up with monsters again. And all of a sudden, now Denise is 5, all of a sudden I heard Denise say, Michelle, listen, the 91st Psalm that says that no monsters can come near you. So monsters can't get me. Teachable moments. Are you teaching your children right living? Are you teaching your children to attend church regularly? Whoa. Yeah. Now I know I'm teaching to the choir because you're here, but you're not here, and I understand there's reasons. But we need to be faithful to church. There's nothing like being together. And the word tells us, forsake not the assembling of yourselves together, and even what the such more as you see these days approaching. What days? The last days. And I believe that we are in the last days. Are you teaching your children the importance of tithing? That's another one. My parents always taught me, you tithe. You tithe first. What kind of example are you leaving to your children? Lastly, Hannah kept her promise and gave Samuel back to the Lord. I'm sure that that wasn't easy. I'm sure that she could have said, oh, you know, why didn't I just ask God for a child? Why did I say that I would give him back? But just as Hannah was committed to her God, she wanted Samuel to be just as committed. And you know, because Hannah trained Samuel, I believe that as Samuel heard the voice of God, and even though that he didn't recognize that voice at first, but he was awakened by that voice. And Eli realized that it was God talking to Samuel. And he told him, he said, Samuel, just say, speak, Lord, because your servant is listening. We need to teach our children to follow the will of God. The best thing we can ever do for our children is to prepare them to hear God's voice. Because you won't always be there. But if you train them to hear the voice of God, God will never lead them astray. We need to dedicate our children to God. And the best way is to point our children to God. Surround them with the love of God. I know my father-in-law would always say, as parents, as children seem to be wayward in their teenage years, he said, just surround them with faith and love. Just surround them with faith and love. And he would say, faith and love will always bring your children back. And you know, we've seen that as we surround our children with faith and love will always bring our children back and to live a victorious life for God. So, I challenge you as a mother, be committed to God. Be committed to your husband. Remember your children are a gift from God. Be committed to train your children. And lastly, give your children to the Lord. And most of all, surround them with faith and love. Let's pray. Father, we thank you for each mother represented here today. We thank you for their lives, for their example, and for their dedication to being a godly mother. I ask you, Father, to continue to lead, guide, and direct them. Give them wisdom and direct them in the daily affairs of their life. May they have a deeper fervency to be the kind of mother you so desire. At the end of their journey, here in this life, may it be said of each one, her children rise up and call her blessed. As we are continuing to bow before the Lord, you may be here today and you say, Lynette, I've never accepted Christ as my Savior. You cannot know love until you know the love of God. God loved us so much that he gave us his very best gift, his one and only son, that we might have life. In Ephesians 2:8 says it this way, for by grace are you saved through faith and not of yourself. It is a gift of God. So if you've never asked Jesus to be your Lord and Savior and you would like to do that today, let me see your hand. Let me see your hand. Let me see your hand. Hallelujah. If you've once known Christ, but you've been like the prodigal son and you've gone away from Father's house and you would like to say, Father, I'm coming home. Let me see your hand. Let me see your hand. Or you might say, you know, I've been to church all of my life, but I don't know if I've ever asked Jesus to be the Lord of my life. If that's your case, I want you to raise your hand. And you know, I would like for us all, and perhaps if you've raised your hand on any of those occasions, or you haven't, but you should have, I want you to repeat this prayer with this congregation after me. Heavenly Father, you said in your holy word that if we would confess with our mouth the Lord Jesus Christ and believe in our heart that you raised him from the dead, we would be saved. I now confess that Jesus died on the cross for my sins and rose from the dead. I invite him to come into my heart and life. I now receive Jesus as my Lord and Savior. Hallelujah. If you've prayed that prayer for the first time, and if you're watching online, you can email us at partnerservice@rhema.org. Hallelujah. Well, I want to say happy Mother's Day again. And if your mother is still alive and she's not here, call her, email her, write a note to her, and tell her how much you love and appreciate her. And you know, you may not have a good relationship with your mother, but she gave you life. And so you can appreciate her for that. Hallelujah. Well, I need you to all just, Well, I guess they can. You can stand up, but please do not exit. We're going to be exiting by sections, and Tad's going to come and give you the instructions. God bless you.